We're doing this.
All right. Hello and welcome to...
Sorry.
Are you talking?
Oh, my God. All right. We'll try this again. Ryan, are you settled?
I'm settled.
Okay. Hello and welcome to Think Fresh, a podcast brought to you by DeNova Marketing's Collective Creative, coming to you from our Ideas Institute and here to talk about all things marketing, insights on new trends, innovative ideas, and marketing tools you can use in your day-to-day life, and whatever else we deem relevant. I'm Jen Newman, DeNova CEO and your host.
And I'm Ryan Schoenefeld, account manager, innovation and education lead, and resident nosy eavesdropper, always looking to push the envelope.
He is indeed very, very nosy.
Today, we're going to talk about fractional marketing. So as we get started, we should probably define a few things just so everyone's on the same page. We have a lot of words we say a lot here at DeNova, but they might not be obvious. So Jen, what is our Ideas Institute?
Well, our Ideas Institute is where we're broadcasting from right now, and it's a recent expansion of our space. We're here in the world headquarters of DeNova, here in the Cherry Building in Cedar Rapids, and the Ideas Institute is really where we go to generate those crazy ideas. It's a space for ourselves and for our clients, and it's got a great energy to it here.
On top of all of that kind of creative energy that you mentioned, We have something we say a lot at DeNova, the collective creative. Can you explain that a little bit for all of our new listeners?
Well, the collective creative is exactly what it sounds like. It's all of these creative weirdos here at DeNova working together. And we like to explain to our clients that really in our company, everybody gets to weigh in on projects. Everybody lends their creative ideas and their energy to giving our clients the best results. So our collective creative is just all of us together working to produce the craziest ideas that work.
And why Think Fresh? What is Think Fresh besides the name of our podcast?
Well, Think Fresh, that's in our roots. I mean, that was on our first business cards back in 2007. and it is what we come back to every time we think about, you know, how do we define ourselves as an agency? We start to get astray from it, and then we come back to it because that's really at the heart of everything we do here. It's not about formulas. It's not about, you know, repeating a recipe. It really is about bringing the fresh, crazy ideas to everything we do.
And this isn't, I've been here for 11 years. You're on 17, 16?
It's some number.
Quite.
In that range.
What came first? The Think Fresh with the Cherry branding, or were we in the Cherry Building first?
No, the cherries weren't part of the branding until we moved to the Cherry Building.
Okay. So. Good to know. But the fresh ideas were always around.
Always think fresh. All right. Now that we've defined a few of the basics, what are we here to talk about?
Today, we are talking about fractional marketing, which when I first heard this term, it took me a while to piece it together. So Jen, for everyone and honestly for me a little bit, can you go into what fractional marketing is?
Do you not read my blog?
I will say I didn't know what fractional marketing was. I know how we operate. I know that we operate now as a fractional marketing team for many of our clients. But your blog was the first time that I read that. We talk about it a lot at DeNova about like finding a unicorn. You're not going to find a unicorn. And it really seems like fractional marketing is almost hiring a unicorn or helps you on that hunt for a unicorn.
Good, Ryan. You get an A- for that. That's pretty good. Fractional marketing is sort of a new way of talking about an old concept. Really, fractional marketing is in many ways like a retained marketing service. And what it really stemmed from was understanding the needs of today's marketing directors and creatives, marketing departments, and the challenges they find in hiring and keeping their talent. And so what fractional marketing does, the way we do it, is offers that consistency and high quality and responsiveness to a marketing department, a marketing director. In some cases, there's not a marketing director. But what it does is it keeps things consistent for our clients and keeps a high level and very high quality content production.
Perfect. Yes. Thank you for explaining it like that. That makes a whole lot more sense. One thing that you were saying is a marketing team. Are there other variations of this fractional marketing? Like a marketing director, or really is it best to do a full fractional marketing department or team?
Really, it is wrapped around what the client needs and what that particular company, community, or organization might be trying to achieve. So in some instances, we function as marketing director and marketing team for some groups. And in others, we meld right into their team and function alongside them and strategize with them and are a part of what they are able to produce. So it's really flexible and nimble to how today's marketers need to be supported. So our use of fractional marketing came from the audience audit research report through Agency Management Institute. And what it really showed was today's marketing leaders are struggling to manage a lot of different vendors or a lot of different people. And when they lose someone in their department, it leaves a really big hole. So what we do is we come in alongside that and we say, you know, we're consistent. We are able to fill in gaps, or we are able to develop strategy and help you execute on it. So it's really, you know, when we talked earlier about being able to be flexible for our clients, that's what this is. It's really helping them meet their goals in whatever way. But when you think about what it costs to hire a team member and what happens when you lose them, I mean, a team member has typically a set of skills. They don't have all of the skills. I mean, there really aren't too many marketing unicorns out there, and they are going for a pretty high price, I would imagine. What fractional marketing, the way we do it, does is gives you a team for the price of an employee or two.
And the term marketing unicorn is one that I think whenever we have clients talking about hiring a marketing manager, they want that person to have social media skills, graphic design skills, a little bit of video work, be able to update the website. It's like that's a lot of skills. Each one of those is almost its own degree and its own person. And very rarely, like you said, will you find that one person. So that's why we call that the unicorn. Everyone's looking for this unicorn, and I'm sure every industry has their own version of a unicorn. They exist, but they are few and far between, and some may say they're a unicorn, but really they're a horse with a horn strapped to their head.
Or they're on cocaine, one of the two.
Or they're on cocaine, yes. Much more popular back in the, is it 90s, 80s? 80s, when the business people were, you know what, we don't even have to get into it. One thing that you briefly mentioned was those holes that happen when somebody leaves on the team. Being an account manager, I've been able to experience this a little bit when my point of contact changes. It's always hard to work with a new person. However, you then become almost the resource for them. I've been able to tell them, like, oh no, like this is how we did it last year because we learned these things, so that I don't want to call it like continuity, but truly that's what it is when you get to work with another group of people. You don't just lose one person, you have the full team there. So have you run into any issues with people losing team members or wanting to grow a team, but then people leave?
Yeah, I mean, the way people work now and the way they sort of ladder up their careers these days is often to leave a company to get that, you know, next pay bump or that next promotion that they want if it's not happening fast enough. So that's hard, especially on smaller teams, to offer that type of opportunity to them at the pace that they want. People don't stay in jobs for 20 years. Right. You are. You're not going anywhere. But most people don't. And so, you know, when you might have somebody for a maximum of 5 years these days,
wow.
You just have to think, how do I keep that continuity? And you're right. I mean, we have clients where they've had their marketing director leave and they have a very small team, and we have been able to provide that consistency and say, this is where we were in the strategy. This is what we've done so far, and be able to give them that historical context.
So one of the things that we've talked about for fractional marketing is that it's very flexible and you can scale up or scale down. We talked about a teammate leaving and that producing a hole, but what about if like the director leaves, or if the marketing VP leaves? How can we help there?
Well, one of the things that we've done on occasion and can do for our clients is provide that fractional leadership and step into that role. It's not something that we want to do permanently if their structure is to have a marketing director or a CMO or a VP in that role, but it is something that we can help fill that gap so that their team isn't leaderless at that time. So it can be a really critical move for a company to do that and to have that option.
And even if the director doesn't leave, one thing that we do with our retainer clients is we can scale up or scale back if needed. Maybe a few months where we provide some more hours to them just in the interim while they are working through their hiring process, because hiring in itself is basically a job. Finding those new people, especially if you do have a little bit higher turnover, it seems like your HR team is constantly hiring and directors are being pulled into meetings. When can they actually do the marketing work?
We've even helped some of our clients find that replacement at times or been a part of interviews or selections. It's just such a critical role sometimes, and you want to get the right hire, and having somebody on the outside can be really helpful.
Something that we've said a few times here is retainer-based. A fractional marketing team is kind of like a retainer. At Denovo, we work in two different ways, or three different ways, hourly sometimes, but retainer-based and also project-based. So can you just talk a little bit about the differences between what a retainer is and what a project-based team can look like?
Retainer-based really is very similar to that fractional marketing team. It allows us to develop a scope of work that we provide on a monthly basis. So really that is another way to say fractional marketing. Project-based is where we provide a scope of work just for a project. Now, we might be doing more than one project at a time, but they're scoped out separately and it's one at a time. Whereas retainer-based allows us to sort of flex with the client over time. Like you said, scale up or scale back depending on their needs. Sometimes we'll provide more hours in one month and less in another month. It just depends on what that client needs. Retainer or fractional marketing on a contract basis allows us to be more strategic over time. But project-based really allows us to dig into just on one singular project. So it's really dependent on what a client needs in order to help them meet their goals.
We've talked a little bit about the benefits of a fractional marketing team. Are there downsides? Let's not ignore those. Are there any cons of why you would hire a fractional marketing team, or maybe what you have to think about when you are hiring that position?
Well, if your company culture is one where everybody really works together in the same space, it can be really hard to integrate a fractional marketing team when we're not on site with them all the time. We often go to our clients or are in meetings with our clients, but you know, it is not the same as having a full-time employee with a specific skill set. It's we're off-site for the most part. So that's one thing. If that's really important to your culture, that you have people there as a part of your team, then that can be difficult. It's also because on one side it's a benefit where you don't have the liability of an employee. It's also easily expendable when the marketing budget gets cut, which, as we all know, when the economy gets a little tight and people get nervous, the first thing, stupidly, to get cut is marketing.
That
right?
has never made sense to me. It's when you need to tell your story the most, talk about your products the most, but it's still that first thing that gets cut.
It really depends on the mindset of the leadership of a company. If a lot of them think of marketing, frankly, as a nuisance expense that they have to do in order to generate sales, right? They don't see it as something that extends into their brand, that's something that helps them hire necessarily. So a more marketing-minded leadership team will see the value of that marketing, whereas somebody who doesn't really understand that and sees it as more of a, oh, we have to do this, but when times get tough, maybe we don't have to do it, is the difference there. So yes, it does tend to get cut, and a marketing contract can. And you know, here at Denovo, we even give a 60-day out to our clients because we know that that's the way the world works and that things can change on a dime in our economy and in our world.
Yeah. You mentioned not having that employee there in the office. As an account manager, one of my main job is to make sure that we are communicating with our clients. I personally, and I know the rest of us account managers, we really do want to make sure our clients know that they can get a hold of us anytime they really need us. Shooting an email will respond as quick as possible, but most of them have our cell phone numbers. So if any marketing emergencies happen, which they do happen from time to time, we get that, either a quick text or a phone call away. So we're basically in the office, but we also love when they come to our office. They usually like to get out of theirs, come into the Ideas Institute or come into our office and just get a little bit of a change of perspective, and have a team that thinks a little bit differently and pulls them in a different direction maybe.
Well, and a lot of our clients love that. You know, they do love coming to our space. It gets them out of their office and thinking a little bit differently, working with our team or we're facilitating here. So that is where that integration can happen. Like I said, no, we're not in your office from 8 to 5 every day. But, I mean, our communication is top-notch. I am really proud of our responsiveness as an agency. It's one of the things I hear the most. And I think when you're looking for a fractional marketing team that you want a team that will provide that to you and will feel like they are a part of your team.
Yeah. And even though we're not in that industry, one of my favorite parts about working at an agency is researching the hell out of those fields. We get to dig in a lot, and it's not just one specific industry. This comes in both of our kind of verticals, if you will, like a public sector, a private sector. I think sometimes clients worry that, oh, they're not experts in transportation or they're not experts in trucking. We are experts in marketing, and that's something I pride myself in. Truly, marketing experts that can learn your industry or at least learn your industry enough to figure out those insights that your customers are looking for or their customers are looking for.
Well, you're right. That's a professional curiosity is what that is. And professional curiosity is what helps you quickly get up to speed and learn everything you can, and ask more questions, ask deeper questions sometimes that, you know, maybe the client isn't thinking about because they're not looking at it objectively. So professional curiosity is what makes a creative professional really good at their job.
Okay, Jen, we just covered fractional marketing, but it's time for our next segment, the power of three, which is like the rapid, very educational, practical piece, really just summarizing this in three sections. So what are three of the top ways that a company can engage with a fractional marketing team?
Okay. Well, I'm not sure these are the top three, but here are three ways we can immediately help. Messaging development and strategy, making sure that things align with the brand and their goals. That's a top one. Second, video and photography. I think that this is something that a lot of clients do not have the expertise. Yes, you can shoot a lot of stuff on an iPhone, but you're getting weird stuff and it doesn't look very professional. It doesn't reflect your brand. And that same thing goes for photography. And the last is design. Having professional design that really speaks to what the end user is trying to accomplish is really important. So those are probably the three biggest needs we hear about and the three ways we can jump in and immediately help. So Ryan, do you feel like you understand fractional marketing now?
Yes. Yes, I do. It's what DeNovo's always been. It's what we've always been doing. And I'm still going to call myself a unicorn. I don't care. Still considering it a unicorn. So now it's time for our segment called Creative Briefs. And a creative brief is something that we on our team give to everyone to make sure everyone quickly gets on the same page. This is a true document in the agency world, but it's also a way for us to put a little spin on this, an audit or take a deeper dive into some work that you might have seen out there by other agencies or maybe even by DeNovo, where we just talk about the creative a little bit more. Today, we are going to be covering some ads that we saw in the Super Bowl. We will post these in the show notes so you can have access to them as well. But we're diving into if we think they worked, why they worked, why they didn't work, and just talk a little bit about the creative process and the creative journey.
Yeah, we want to make sure that, you know, most companies don't have a Super Bowl budget, right? But can you take something from what another company did and make sure that you are using it to hone your own creative process? So you want to dive in with contestant number one here?
Yes, yes. Contestant number one for me, this is going to be my win or the one that I thought was great. This was by Elf Cosmetics, and it they called it Judge Beauty. This is where they brought in Judge Judy, where she was talking with a plaintiff and a defendant. They were actually on Suits. So a show that was very popular on Netflix. They're pulling in some high name actors. But what I think is most relevant is they also kept it very sharp on their target market. So in the middle of the commercial, they cut to some Instagram celebrities like Benito Skinner, drag queen Heidi in Closet. They even had Megan Trainor. Sorry, Maggie.
Maggie, are you guys on that type of, have that relationship?
We are tight. They pulled in her as well. So they weren't just going for mass appeal. I use this term with love. They were going for the girls and the gays, the people that use e.l.f. cosmetics. This was not for the people that do not use their cosmetics. They really focused on the beauty piece. One thing that they said was everyone can be beautiful, or I think they said beauty fades, but dumb is forever. Something that really stood out to me, just making sure like, hey, beauty fades. But
here's the thing. We're told expensive is better. We make an assumption that is expensive is better. And secretly, nobody really wants to pay that much.
Right.
So I think that was the insight that came out of it, was it was giving you permission to use cheaper makeup. And that's why they gave that nod to cruelty free, right?
Yep.
Because you think of cruelty free as a feature of a higher end product. They can afford to do that. And that's why this costs $97 for a bottle of foundation.
Yikes.
They even dropped a price point in there, which I thought was really interesting. $14 for a bottle of foundation, and suddenly giving you permission and telling you this will be good quality. It won't turn your face green, right? Like, it's not going to give you zits. I thought that was the insight that came out of it, was a lot of us are spending a stupid amount of money on cosmetics, and it kind of gave us permission to not to.
Yeah. And e.l.f. is something that I don't know if everyone knew meant eyes, lips, and face. So if they are ever going to be transitioning away from that name, really leaning in on the eyes, lips, and face, they made it very clear in this commercial. They showed it right on screen. This was also their first time running a Super Bowl commercial. I dug into that a little bit. So they spent the budget to get their name out there and pull in some familiar faces. But yes, also give permission for a cheaper makeup option.
That's what I took from it.
Yeah.
So. All right, what's your second contestant?
I am glad that you brought up permission to purchase a cheaper option. However, my second option almost leans in a little too heavily on this. So my next one is what I thought was Temu. However, we learned very quickly from the earworm jingle that it is Temu. So they instantly told me that I was saying it wrong, so I didn't love that. But this commercial was a fully 100% animated commercial. It had a Temu. They just kept playing it over and over again. So they got that messaging out there, but in a negative way almost. 100% of this was 3D rendered. But the other part that they did that was curious to me, all of the products were 3D rendered. So Temu is a company where you can buy products. They say that they're cheaper than Amazon. You can shop like a billionaire and you get all these products. So it showed people buying a t-shirt and then the t-shirt would magically appear on their body. But one problem with cheap products is you worry about the quality. And they're never showing the product. They're never showing that quality there. So it's not overcoming a barrier that many people might have. Sure, it's cheap, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's quality.
I think you hit the nail on the head. They're not showing it because it's not quality. I mean, what you get when you order from that company is often vastly different than what you thought you ordered. My insight was they had the budget for animation, so they did it.
Yep. We can make this happen. We're going to do it. And you don't have to pay for a celebrity placement in that case. You're not paying for the big name. But they also ran the exact same commercial 3 times. So that was shocking to me as well. They had, I think the commercial was $5 million for a 30-second spot, which means they're at $15 million running the same commercial 3 different times.
No, it was a flex for sure. But I don't know if that paid off for them or not. There was nothing that really... There wasn't a great call to action. I think shop like a billionaire is a dumb tagline,
yeah.
Frankly. Like, it's just dumb. I don't know if it really appeals to people or not. I think it about 5 seconds on that app and you realize you're just buying cheap plastic crap from overseas.
Yeah, you're like, this is not helping our environment in any way, shape, or form. And you feel you can't. Just because you can does not mean you should. But Jen, we covered my wins, my fails, or my contestants, if you will. Let's dig into yours. What is your contestant number one?
Oh my God, I didn't prepare that. So I'm good with the two that we covered. So.
Perfect.
All right.
So what did we take from that? What did we actually learn? Both of our ads really focused on the cheap price point, right? So our e.l.f. Beauty, they leaned on cheap, but also quality. You can get an awesome concealer for $14, leaning in on the quality. Whereas Temu, they just leaned in on being cheap. They don't show the quality of any of their products, probably for good reason. Really, in summary, it all comes back to your insight. You don't have to necessarily have $5 million for a Super Bowl placement, but you do still have to have that consumer insight. What is your ad trying to say? So an easy way for us to take it from millions of dollars to maybe smaller budgets, but it always comes back to that insight.
Yeah, and thanks for doing my homework for me.
I got your back. Okay, Jen, now it's time for our last segment. This one is called Fresh Takes. Fractional marketing. What's your take?
Fractional marketing or retained marketing has been around for a long time. The way we've always functioned, we've flexed with not only our clients, but we also flex with the economy. And we pay a lot of attention to that. We have weathered a lot of headwinds in our company's history. And it's always been successful for us because we've realized, what do our clients need right now? So what I'm seeing right now out there is a need for consistency in hiring. So now I'm going to get a little extra deep on this and say things changed when Obamacare came online, right? Suddenly the gig economy was a thing. You could quit your job and you could follow your passion, as bullshit as that line is. It's not that it's a bad thing. It's just don't expect to make a lot of money doing it.
Yeah.
But a lot of people became freelancers, right? And it was an interesting way to have your needs met as a marketing director or even beyond marketing. What happened, though, over time is those freelancers either went back to full-time work, or they became very specialized, or they left town and took, you know, all your video files with them. And so what we've always done is flexed with what our clients need. In 2008, when not only locally we had a flood, but also the economic headwinds that we faced back then, you know, it was a fairly mild recession, but it still took a bite out of a lot of budgets. That's where we first started that fractional concept. I mean, we called it retainer or interim leadership, whatever they needed at the time. And then as that economy got better, then we transitioned more into the fulfillment side and executing on creative strategy again. We can do this whatever way our clients want. So that's what I think. I think it'll always be needed. It's just you have to be nimble to what the client needs and really pay close attention to what the economy is doing and how that impacts, if you're a marketing director, your own budget, maybe what your own company leadership might be thinking about, and how are you going to fill the gaps? So I think it's here to stay. I think it was already here. We're just talking about it differently now.
Fractional, yeah, retainer marketing now has a new name, fractional marketing. Don't use that. I think we did it, Jen. We just did our first podcast episode.
Oh, I'm exhausted.
Stars, we did it. I'm excited.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Think Fresh.
And remember, the conversation does not have to end here. If you liked what you heard today, be sure to follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Instagram. Review our show on whatever you listen to your podcast on. Or share all your marketing trials and triumphs by shooting us an email at info@thinkdenovo.com with the subject line, Dear DeNovo, so we don't miss it.
And while you wait eagerly for our next episode, you can get your fix by checking out our blog, Fresh Thinking, at blog.thinkdenovo.com. Stay tuned for more engaging conversations, laughs, and of course, marketing brilliance and me making fun of Ryan in the next episodes to come.
Here's to fresh thinking, sparking creativity, and never being boring. Bye, friends.
Are we swearing on this or no?